So St. Luke tells us that there were these two very different reactions to this evidence of the empty tomb that's presented before these people today. First, we have the group of women. Now, within the Jewish tradition and custom, there is this two-stage process of burial. First, you would embalm the body and take it to a tomb, like we have described in the gospel today. And you would allow the body to naturally decompose over the course of a few months. And the spices and the ointment that was placed around the body helped that process. Then, after the body had decomposed, you would go and carefully take the bones that would still be wrapped in the cloth and then remove them to the ossuary, a box that would contain the bones. And so everyone knew where the person had been buried. It's not like our tradition where we simply bury a person like in our church graveyard and then leave them there and that's the end of it. You might come back in due course and place new flowers on their grave. But within that tradition, you knew, you would always remember where that particular grave had been. We also know that these particular women had been there on the day when Jesus died. Unlike all of the other apostles, all of the men who'd run away because they were too scared of the repercussions, they didn't want to suffer the same thing that had happened to Jesus. They knew the absolute brutality of the Romans. And so they were absolutely afraid of that consequence for themselves. But the women were able to kind of fly under the radar. They wouldn't have attracted as much attention as the male apostles. So they were able to stay there faithfully, being there with Jesus, watching all of the events unfold as he died on the cross. And then as his body was taken down and as they were hastily prepared for burial. Because it was a day of special solemnity, we know that the women weren't able to complete that process of the embalming. And so they return on this day, on the third day, as they prepare simply to expecting to find the body and to do what they wanted to do originally, but didn't have the time to be able to do that. And so when they arrive at the tomb, I mean, there's all kinds of questions that are there. How are we going to convince the Roman soldiers who are guarding the tomb to allow us to get them to roll the stone away? How are we going to be able to move the stone if the soldiers don't cooperate with us? All those kinds of questions. None of them, even though Jesus had instructed them, none of them were expecting the tomb to actually be empty. And that is what they find, this discovery of the tomb, that is the stones rolled away and the tomb is not completely empty, because if it was someone who was simply stealing the body, they would have taken the whole lot. But instead, they find the grave clothes, which were the expensive things. They were the things that people were interested in stealing. No one wants an old dead body. That's, you know, no one would in their right mind ever steal a body alone. It was the cloths that they were after. But the cloths are there, but they're empty. And so the women are dumbfounded. You know, how on earth do they process all of this? And then we're told that these two strange figures dressed in these dazzlingly bright clothes are there addressing them. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. And they're just, you know, their minds must have been swimming at this stage, overwhelmed by the reality that is being confronted to them. But then these two strange figures invite the women to do something quite extraordinary, to remember. Remember the words that Jesus spoke to you when he was still alive. Remember all the things that he said to you. Don't just try and work this out yourselves. Allow those words to feed your heart and your soul. Allow those words to be the words that you can rely upon. And so the women do. They remember the words that Jesus spoke to them. And sometimes that's the first thing that we need to do. You know, sometimes the world throws all kinds of confusing thoughts at us. Sometimes our lives just begin to unravel and not turn out the way that we hoped and expected them to turn out. And sometimes the only thing that we can do is indeed to remember, to open ourselves to those words that we've heard, those scripture passages that have nourished us and provided us with the foundation of our life on so many occasions, to go back to those places, to go back to those passages, to those prayers that have provided comfort for us, and to remember those words and to allow those words to speak once again into our hearts and into our lives. Because we see a contrast here with the other disciples. The women go back and they tell their story. They say, look, the stone has been rolled away. The tomb is empty. The cloths are still there. And the men, what do they say? Oh, the women are just talking nonsense once again. Ladies, how often have you heard that from your men? The whole sense of just this utter disbelief. How could you believe such a thing? How could you say such a thing? And us men, sometimes we need a little bit more time to be able to process and to get the whole sense of this. We're told that at least Peter makes his way to the tomb. In the Gospel of John, we hear that it's Peter and John who make their way running to the tomb, full of disbelief, full of confusion, trying to work out all of this. But today we hear that Peter makes his way there and he sees all of these things for himself. But he doesn't yet come to belief. He leaves that tomb, we're told, simply amazed. But we heard in the Gospels that so many of the people who saw the wondrous things that Jesus did, who heard his teachings, who saw his mighty works, only were amazed. But to be amazed is never enough. So many of us perhaps have been amazed at times by the things that Jesus has done. But we need to do more than simply be amazed. We need to make that next stage of the journey, to do what those women did, to remember the words that he spoke and to ponder upon those words and allow those words to speak to us so that, like the women, we may have that faith that sustains us. We may have the faith that will lead us into that belief. Because if we believe in the resurrection of Jesus, then everything changes. If we know the truth that Jesus is not dead, but he is risen, then we know that death no longer has its power and authority over us. The death that is the ultimate fear of every one of us. I mean, that's why so many people work out at the gym, because it's trying to prevent that whole fear of death from lingering and from having power and authority over us. We try and work out and say, yes, we want to defeat that enemy of death. But as a Christian, we're able to affirm the belief that Jesus has conquered death, that death no longer has any authority or fear to be held upon us. Let's indeed allow the words of God to speak to us. Let's remember those words. Let's affirm those words and allow ourselves to rejoice in the delight of believing in the risen one.